Diversity is our frequency. CKUW provides community-based programming that reflects and respects.
Good morning, friends. Ron Robinson here.
Just have the train going.
Good morning, friends. Ron Robinson here.
And I'm Carol.
In our remote studio, I think we're too close to the train tracks, Carol.
I guess so.
We have something to make do. We'll be back in our regular studio in about a month or so. Hope you can stay with us for that, because we can't guarantee how things are turning out, but we'll do the best we can with what we have. Yes? Yes.
Just waiting for a train to pass by. What will become of the hobo whenever his time comes to die? There's a master up yonder.
Listening to CKUWFM 95.9 on your FM dial. It's a Saturday morning show. Now you don't have to pay for this ride. We come after you in February. Fun drive. Well, if you want to, that would be good too. Now just enjoy the free ride and sing along at home.
Will there be any freight trains in heaven? Boxcars in which we might hide. Will there be any tough cops or brakemen? Will they tell us that we cannot ride? Will the hobo chum with the rich man? Will we always have money to spare?
From the self-titled Trio CD, Dolly Parton, Linda Ronstadt, Emmylou Harris doing the Hobo Lamentation from Jimmy Rogers. Not that Jimmy Rogers. No, this is the Jimmy Rogers, the singing brakeman who recorded in the early 1930s. Carol McKibben, what about the weather for Inquiring Minds?
Well, I did check it a minute ago, and it wasn't available yet. But let me try again. No, not available yet.
Take a look at sports for you then.
Okay.
4 minutes after six. Soccer, FIFA, the World Cup. Well, it was that close. I thought they were going to go to penalties. But Argentina won, and now two games today. Canada and Morocco at noon. Paraguay and France at 4:00. I see on Sunday, Brazil and Norway at 3 o'clock, and Mexico and England at 7. Football in the CFL, well, they kept cutting to Ryan Dinwiddie's face, the coach, on the sidelines, and he was...
The coach of?
The veins on his forehead began to stand out, Carl, and his eyeballs began to pop. I think he's coaching Ottawa.
Oh.
And it looked like Saskatchewan going to run away with it, and the penalty, we wanted to play either of those teams, I was thinking. Anyways, Saskatchewan won 27-22, though. It's a lot closer than it looked at the half, I can tell you. So today in the CFL, it's Edmonton and BC at 6. Sunday will be Winnipeg and Hamilton at 6. Baseball in the major leagues, Toronto Blue Jays played the Seattle Mariners last night. The Jays won 2-0. Same again today at 3, Sunday at 4. American Association, Winnipeg Gold Eyes played the Chicago Dogs in Chicago last night. Well, it was 8-2, and the rains came down. It was a deluge there. But according to the Free Press, that'll probably how it ended up. 8-2.
Good.
So same again today at 6, Sunday at 3. Basketball, the Winnipeg Sea Bears are in Edmonton to play the Stingers. That's Sunday at 5. Quick look at sports there. Carol McKibben, now, what about the weather?
Yes, well, it's just 13 degrees out there, which is actually okay. Partly cloudy, barometric pressure 101.7 and falling. The humidity is 100%. Wind coming from the east-northeast at 6. There will be a mix of sun and cloud today, 30% chance of showers late in the afternoon, with a risk, of course, of a thunderstorm. High of 29 today, humidex of 36, and that gives you altogether UV index of 8. That's very high, so again, if you're going to spend any time in the sun at all, make sure you cover up, have water with you, and maybe find a place with shade or indoors to escape.
Hot.
Well, you know, it doesn't seem like it's like 8 is very high, but 29 is not like hot.
Compared to what's been elsewhere for a week. Looking at the Free Press today, we actually got our Free Press, the big passages, big picture of Sid Green. Fearless lawyer, pioneering politician. We mentioned his death a while back. But as you know, the passages, the front page gets the full story. So, served 15 years MLA for Inkster. 1968, became the first Jewish Canadian to make a serious run for leader of a political party. Sought to helm the provincial NDP. Died June the 7th at 96. Nice little, well, it's too much to read, but I'll just read one quote from his son. Arthur says, illustrates something key about his father's character. On occasion, some have used the word contrarian to describe Sid Green. It was never the case that he took a position just because it was oppositional. Quote, he was utterly unafraid and unwilling, even for a moment, to consider sacrificing his own conscience when he thought that he was right and the other side was wrong, Arthur says. Quote, so in that sense, he was a contrarian, meaning willing to stand up for his own conscience and ideas, no matter what the cost. Today's Winnipeg Free Press, then, for July the 4th, the big page, the passages page, at 8 minutes after 6. So we turn to your easy listening hit parade in the 1940s and 50s. Well, this morning is K-Star. Ever since the Duncan sisters first sang Side by Side in 1927 in vaudeville, sense of the lyric has dictated that it should be sung by two people, and K-Star made this hit recording in 53. She did it all by herself.
Ron's just playing with the CD player right now and finding if K-Star is really there.
CD player doesn't want to play.
Oh.
K-Star.
How dare it?
We'll tell it to try again.
Sure.
We've moved our equipment from our regular studios down here.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed a couple of wrinkles.
Well, it was working okay Thursday, right?
We have one song left, I think, after this on this three CD set.
Okay. Let's see if that'll make it work.
Side by side.
Okay.
Oh, we ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny, but we'll travel alone, singing a song side by side. Don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's trouble and sorrow, but we'll travel the road, sharing our load, side by side. Through all kinds of weather, what if the sky should fall? Just as long as we're together, it doesn't matter at all. Well, they've all had the quarrels and parted. We'll be the same as we started, just traveling along, singing a song side by side. See that sun in the morning peeking over the hill. I'll bet you're sure it always has, and it always will. Well, that's how I feel about someone, and somebody feels about me. We're sure in love.
Doing it all by herself, a la Patti Page, courting technology to gain a second voice. As if one K-star could generate enough singing jollity, here she is duplicating, moving side by side with herself. A song written by Harry Woods, tunes exemplified the bright, happy spirit of the 1920s, before all the old golden dreams came tumbling down the stock market crash 29. He saw things sunny side up in I'm Looking Over a Four-Leaf Clover, When the Red Robin Comes Bobbing Along, yes. Paddling Madeline Home is a classic.
What a cheery guy.
And A Little Kiss Each Morning. So Side by Side by K-Star. Carol McKibben?
Yes?
Any chance of a jumble?
Oh, certainly. Are you ready?
Okie dokie.
You look like you're concentrating on other things.
Well, we have
to
do
the letters.
Well, I think we have to, so.
E-L-A-F-B.
Fable.
Good grief.
Could it be fable?
Yes.
That's what we were looking
You're
for then.
Fast.
Speaking of fables, I think we should have a go at the...
Well, just wait. My bamboo pole is on the other side of the room.
Right.
So
well,
if you'll
just
give me a minute,
step
go find
across
it.
Across the way there. And I will see if you can swing it. I think clockwise down here works
okay,
better.
Let's see.
Okay.
It
does it. Yeah, I'm getting something now. It's good.
Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, read by Jeffrey Howard. Preface. The contents of this book were first given on the air and then published in three separate parts as The Case for Christianity, 1943, Christian Behavior, 1943, and Beyond Personality, 1945. In the printed versions, I made a few additions to what I had said at the microphone, but otherwise left the text much as it had been. A talk on the radio should, I think, be as like real talk as possible, and should not sound like an essay being read aloud. In my talks, I had therefore used all the contractions and colloquialisms I ordinarily use in conversation. In the printed version, I reproduced this, putting don't and we've for do not and we have. And wherever in the talks I had made the importance of a word clear by the emphasis of my voice, I printed it in italics. I am now inclined to think that this was a mistake, an undesirable hybrid between the art of speaking and the art of writing. A talker ought to use variations of voice for emphasis because his medium naturally lends itself to that method. But a writer ought not to use italics for the same purpose. He has his own, different means of bringing out the keywords and ought to use them. In this edition, I have expanded the contractions and replaced most of the italics by recasting the sentences in which they occurred, but without altering, I hope, the popular or familiar tone which I had all along intended. I have also added and deleted where I thought I understood any part of my subject better now than 10 years ago, or where I knew that the original version had been misunderstood by others. The reader should be warned that I offer no help to anyone who is hesitating between two Christian denominations. You will not learn from me whether you ought to become an Anglican, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, or a Roman Catholic. This omission is intentional. Even in the list I have just given, the order is alphabetical. There is no mystery about my own position. I am a very ordinary layman of the Church of England, not especially high, nor especially low, nor especially anything else. But in this book I am not trying to convert anyone to my own position. Ever since I became a Christian, I have thought that the best, perhaps the only, service I could do for my unbelieving neighbours was to explain and defend the belief that has been common to nearly all Christians at all times. I had more than one reason for thinking this. In the first place, the questions which divide Christians from one another often involve points of high theology or even of ecclesiastical history which ought never to be treated except by real experts. I should have been out of my depth in such waters, more in need of help myself than able to help others. And secondly, I think we must admit that the discussion of these disputed points has no tendency at all to bring an outsider into the Christian fold. So long as we write and talk about them, we are much more likely to deter him from entering any Christian communion than to draw him into our own. Our divisions should never be discussed except in the presence of those who have already come to believe that there is one God and that Jesus Christ is his only Son. Finally, I got the impression that far more and more talented authors were already engaged in such controversial matters than in the defense of what Baxter calls mere Christianity. That part of the line where I thought I could serve best was also the part that seemed to be thinnest, and to it I naturally went. So far as I know, these were my only motives, and I should be very glad if people would not draw fanciful inferences from my silence on certain disputed matters. For example, such silence need not mean that I myself am sitting on the fence. Sometimes I am. There are questions at issue between Christians to which I do not think I have the answer. There are some to which I may never know the answer. If I ask them, even in a better world, I might, for all I know, be answered as a far greater questioner was answered, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." But there are other questions as to which I am definitely on one side of the fence, and yet say nothing. For I was not writing to expound something I could call my religion, but to expound mere Christianity, which is what it is and was what it was long before I was born and whether I like it or not. Some people draw unwarranted conclusions from the fact that I never say more about the Blessed Virgin Mary than is involved in asserting the virgin birth of Christ. But surely my reason for not doing so is obvious. To say more would take me at once into highly controversial regions, and there is no controversy between Christians which needs to be so delicately touched as this. The Roman Catholic beliefs on that subject are held not only with the ordinary fervour that attaches to all sincere religious belief, but, very naturally, with the peculiar and, as it were, chivalrous sensibility that a man feels when the honour of his mother or his beloved is at stake. It is very difficult so to dissent from them that you will not appear to them a cad as well as a heretic. and contrariwise, the opposed Protestant beliefs on this subject call forth feelings which go down to the very roots of all monotheism whatever. To radical Protestants, it seems that the distinction between creator and creature, however holy, is imperiled. That polytheism is risen again. Hence, it is
the voice of Jeffrey Howard, reading the prologue to Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. I don't know if that's in the library or not. We used to sell C.S. Lewis by the ton when we were booksellers. Not just Narnia, either. Yes.
No.
And a very good play, Shadowland, I think it was called.
The movie was certainly Shadowland.
Right.
Yeah.
When the American woman came into his presence. Anyways, you could look him up, C.S. Lewis, at 6:20. We turn then to, is enough talk for the moment, to our instrumental favorites. You can play along at home here. Oh, this one's pretty easy, too. By certainly the recognize the tune, and then who's doing the playing? That's pretty easy,
that's
too.
Pretty easy.
Well, we'll make it very easy for you today. That's, I'm so, well, you had a hard week, didn't you? Let's make it easy for you then. Lively version of A Taste of Honey.
I'll say.
I never think of that. There's a movie.
I don't remember.
Taste of Honey. And the star was very young.
Hmm.
She went on to do a lot of ads for a weight loss program.
Oh.
Movie was probably a Georgie girl.
Oh, well, that was...
She had a sister who was an actress
as
well.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the Redgrave, Lynn.
Lynn Redgrave, that's right.
Yeah.
When I hear the song, I think of Lynn Redgrave.
Really?
We'll stretch out on the couch there. You can say, tell me more.
Rita Tushingham was in it.
Oh, ho.
Is that who you're thinking of, maybe, instead of...
Confusing Rita Tushingham for Lynn Redgrave.
Imagine.
We'll look it up later in detail with Taste of Honey. Anyways, there you go. Herb Alpert, Tijuana Brass, there at 6:24.
I don't see Lynn Redgrave's name, but who knows? She may have had a small part.
Looking at the book pages, maybe it was A Taste of Honey.
A Taste of Honey film.
Could be.
That's what I looked
at. Brought to you by Beehive. The book pages, today's Winnipeg Free Press, the big book. There she's sitting in a bookstore, probably hers. Just occurred to me. That's Ann Patchett. Whistler, a novel by Ann Patchett. A winter car accident, childhood abandonment, grave illness, broken hearts, all central. Ah, it is far from a sad and depressing work of fiction. Rather, a lovely and engaging novel about decent, well-meaning people, the art of forgiveness, the embrace of family. Pretty sure she has her own bookstore, does she not?
I don't know. I know some authors that do. James Patterson, I think, has one.
Whistler is a story about love and generosity of emotion. There you are. Reviewed by Sharon Chisholm, Winnipeg writer, editor, and historian. Whistler is the novel, then. And new book from Will Ferguson. Meanwhile, back in Nokomis, Tales from Canada and Elsewhere. Now, this is a collection of essays that haven't appeared in previous books, but he goes right back to, I think, the 90s here as well. So, recommended by Chris Smith, although he says many of the other essays lack that depth. Others are humorous anecdotes, and the occasional one reads like filler. So, it does show a humanity not available in Ferguson's usual lighthearted writing. New book then, meanwhile, back in Nokomis, Tales from Canada and Elsewhere. And, as well, the Paper Chase column, I see the 12th edition of The Wild and Wonderful Words reading takes place Wednesday, coming Wednesday. Stacked lineup of writers slated to share their work. Hosted, as always, by local author and pre-press reviewer Sheldon Burney, author of Where the Pavement Turns to Sand. So it's Sukram's Brewing Company, 479B Warsaw Avenue. Kicks off 7 p.m. Wednesday, was it? Yes. Admission is free. I'll repeat that. Admission is free.
I like that.
All ages are welcome to attend, which is also interesting. Sukram's Brewing Company. Oh, new book from Marina Endicott. But, of course, we can't play any IDs here. I'll just say, most recent novel of the Observer. But anyway, she won the 2026 Prairie Grindstone Prize, an award funded by an anonymous donor. That wasn't me. Whose winner alternates between Alberta and Saskatchewan. Prize comes with a $50,000 purse. That's very nice. Finally, I was pretty sure there was, a new mystery. A review by Lawrence Brontës. This review reminds me of the novel I'm reviewing as well. It's sort of, readers who know who they are have an easy decision to make. I was just going to say the one I'm reading. It's a part of a series. I was going to say, if you liked what you got, you're going to get more of it. If you didn't like what you got in the first in that series, you won't like this. Anyway, this is City of the Muse by Kate Hilton. And as well, I don't... Oh, this was interesting. And you... There have been a million of these, but some of them done very badly. But in the paperbacks column, David Pitt says, The Debutante Detective, the latest installment in the excellent Further Adventures of Sherlock Holmes stories. There have been about a dozen of them already. He never tries to imitate Arthur Conan Doyle, but if you're familiar with the original Holmes stories, you'll feel right at home here. Publishes in paperback next Tuesday. That's The Debutante Detective. As I say, there are a lot of bad ones, and there are only 56 short stories and 4 novels.
Right.
Which is why everybody wants more and more.
Of course. Well, you thought that maybe Ann Patchett owned a bookstore. You'll like the title of it.
This is my bookstore. McNally Robinson. Get out.
Parnassus.
Oh, for Parnassus on Wheels, the novel by Christopher Morley.
Yes. It's in Nashville.
Naturally, yep. So that picture of her must be. That's the big book.
That must be in her
reviewed
bookstore.
In today's Winnipeg Free Press book pages. Her sitting there in front of row and row of shelf of books.
Yep.
It is. Well, the screen has gone blank. So it's 6:20 something, I'm going to say. Could it be 6:30? No, it can't be.
Well, just about.
6:29.
Yep.
So we turn then to Dear Mary from the pages of The Spectator for advice and help and guidance. Now this... I have no idea what year it's from now because we're into their archives.
My parents have kindly offered to pay for a party for me in South Kensington with drinks and large canapés for up to 150.
Ooh-wee.
It seems that the caterers would need to know how many are coming. Ron and Carol will be there, but almost every one of my friends would be hopeless about RSVPing. Any ideas?
Oh, dear.
FW London SW11. Well, Mary has an answer. And the answer is... The young are confused by RSVP. Some think it means only reply if you're coming. With imagination stunted by tech, they can't think ahead to the event in question. When they finally decide they do want to come, they don't know the formula for replying. Your invitation should drop the French and say firmly, this is in capital letters, please reply, whether yes or no. CD player put an end to that. Thank you very much. So let's just say it's 6:31. Thank you, dear Mary, from the pages of The Spectator. Turner Classic Movie Channel for this weekend, then. Oh, because it's July the 4th, American historical movies and documentaries galore.
Oh, I'm sure.
1:45 this afternoon. Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yes. James Cagney, of course.
Okay.
1942, directed by Michael Casablanca Curtis. Joan Leslie, Walter Huston, musical bio of George M. Cohen. 4:15 today, it will be The Music Man.
Oh, that'll be fun.
From 1962, Robert Preston, Sheila Jones, Shirley Jones.
Shirley.
Call her Shirley.
Yes.
Buddy Hackett. And isn't little Ronnie Howard in that?
Little Ronnie Howard with a little lisp. Yes.
6:50 tonight. Looney Tunes. Bunker Hill with Bunker Hill Bunny. Get it? Bunker Hill history, but Bugs Bunny. Yes. 1950. 9 o'clock tonight. Hard Day's Night. 1964. Oh. Directed by Richard Lester and the Beatles.
Yes. That's not American.
Sunday, but it can't be all. Sunday, but more American history. More American history. Looney Tunes at 10:35 and 10:45. 2 p.m., it's Annie Get Your Gun from 1950. Oklahoma, 4:30. Turner Classic Movie Channel. 7 o'clock, Soylent Green from 1973. Charlton Heston, Chuck Connelly. I'm pretty sure Edward G. Robinson is in that. Soylent Green. Yep, that's right. 11:30 Sunday night, silent movie. Now I'll Tell One.
Okay.
It's a Laurel and Hardy.
Oh.
It's individual actors before they're billing as a duo. Right. The silent movie Sunday night on the Turner Classic Movie Channel at 11:30. River City. Robert Preston, and I think some of that cast was from the Broadway musical, but wasn't Shirley Jones pregnant?
She was pregnant at the time.
That, yes.
Yeah.
Her
they had to be careful how she...
What she did and how she did
it,
yes.
Yeah.
at 6:34.
And little Ronnie Howard had a lisp, and he couldn't sing. And I forget...
what they did about
it. They tried to get him to sing, and he couldn't really sing. And then they thought, you know what? Not all kids can sing.
I was about to
Leave it the way it is.
Yes, exactly.
And it was cute as anything. Yep.
6:34 then.
Okay.
Born on this day in 1911, Mitch Miller. He was an American oboist, you know, first. And then record producer. Died in 2010. Long and varied career. Choral conductor, record producer, record industry executive, professional oboist. Involved in almost all aspects of the industry. Loved and hated. He ended up at Columbia Records, best-selling recording artist with an NBC television series called Sing Along with Mitch.
Oh, yes.
People claim that, you followed the bouncing ball.
Yeah.
No, that was somebody else.
What?
No, they didn't do that with,
what?
With Mitch. I know. But as I say, he began his, I can get to that later,
what?
Began his musical career, player of the oboe and English horn, numerous highly regarded classical and popular recordings. His albums were number one for 22 weeks in Canada between 1959 and 1962. Born in Rochester, New York. As I say, studied the oboe, etc. Joined Mercury Records and then to Columbia. Defined the Columbia style through the 60s. Singing, signing, and producing Johnny Ray, Percy Faith, Ray Conniff, Jimmy Boyd, Johnny Mathis, Tony Benton, Guy Mitchell. I don't know if he got the best, quite frankly, out of... Rosemary Clooney in the world. He told you what he wanted.
Oh, I see.
And if you didn't deliver, you were out of the studio, simple as that.
Yeah.
But on a later note, here's Mitch in the crowd, and they call themselves The Gang, an orchestra. What to choose from, his greatest hits? Well, let's go with You Are My Sunshine.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I want
Mitch Miller and the gang. They pretty much did every song the same way.
Yes.
They belted it out. Yellow Rose of Texas was huge. They even did a vocal version of The Longest Day. I don't know how they did that.
Oh.
And I guess they could have whistled to Bridge on the River Kwai, Autumn Leaves. Some of these, you think, they were eventually vocals.
If you're putting something on TV back then, that was sort of the style. Like Lawrence Welk was sort of the same thing, bang it out regimentally.
Mitch Miller, Born on This Day, as I say. And I didn't look that up, but it wasn't Mitch and his crowd that did the bouncing ball on the screen. Somebody else did that to sing along, where to put the emphasis, I suppose, when you're singing as well.
Burl Ives or somebody?
Oh, no. No, a different, like another producer.
Band
another,
leader. Oh.
So, yeah. And I recognized it when I saw it, but 6:40.
Okay.
Well,
I believe you.
Saw this on CBC, and I lost my note, but I've gone to the wiki for this, and that is that Tommy Hunter's died at the age of, I was going to say 80...
I think it was
89.
Or could have been.
He was born in 1937.
Okay, 89.
So, known as Canada's Country Gentleman, of course, began performing as a rhythm guitarist, CBC television show, Country Hoedown. Then the Tommy Hunter Show, it was a CBC radio program, first, 1960, replacing the long-running variety show, The Happy Gang.
Aww.
Bert Pearl and The Happy Gang. Keep smiling, it's The Happy Gang. Yes, went on to replace Country Hoedown on CBC television in 65. And they actually picked up in the States as well. If you ran on CBC until 1992.
Wow.
I don't know if you ever got over that. The fact that CBC said, thank you, that's enough.
Tough.
So let's hear his theme song.
Okay.
I'm a traveling man, following the breeze. Traveling here, traveling there, gathering memories. So let me wander, let me wander all my life away. Just traveling on my way.
Just traveling on my way.
Some have said it, traveling man walks a lonely mile, but I find friends along my way who offer me a smile. So let me wander, let me wander all my life away. Just traveling on my way. Travel far and wide. I'm just one man for company, my dear Lord by my side. So let me wander, let me wander all my life away. Just traveling on my way.
Just traveling on my way.
Just traveling on my way.
Theme song there. Even though CBC said that's very much, thank you, in 1992, he of course kept performing and traveled the country. And I think his last show, big show, 2012, I think, in London, Ontario, of course, because that's where he came from. So CBC did have a nice, showed some clips from a documentary, I guess, on him. That was yesterday, anyways, and be something else on CBC by now, I would sure, on the website, the CBC News website. 6:44. Now, Tommy Hunter's died, and Mel Brooks has turned 100.
Wow.
Yep, because, of course, 100. Last week we played a couple of, mentioned a couple of his movies on Turner Classic Movie Channel.
Yes.
And so, yes, well, the movies, yes, we could have played the theme music to Blazing Saddles, but I thought we should go back to what he's most
famous for.
Carl Reiner.
Yes.
About 4 days ago, a plane landed at Idlewild Airport. The plane came from the Middle East, bearing a man who claims to be 2,000 years old. He spent the last 6 days at the Mayo Clinic. Sir, is it true that you are 2,000 years old?
Oh, boy. Yes.
You are too... It's hard to believe, sir, because in the history of man, nobody's ever lived more than 167 years, as the man from Peru would claim to be. But you claim to be 2,000.
Yes, I'll be... I'm not yet. I'll be 2,000 October 16th. This
one, yes. You will be 2,000... When were you born?
We didn't have formal... years and names and writing. We didn't know.
I see. And what?
Nobody kept time then. See, we didn't know, we didn't write, we just sat around, we pointed in the sky and we said, whoa, hot toy, you know?
That's all you said?
We didn't even know it was the sun, we thought.
You mean you really didn't know anything?
We didn't know anything. We were so dumb and stupid.
Sir.
We didn't know who was a lady.
But they were.
They was with us. We didn't know who they were. We didn't know who was the ladies and who was fellas.
You thought they were just different type of fellas?
Yes, just stronger or smaller or softer. The softer ones, I think, were ladies all the time.
How did you find out that they were ladies?
A cute, fat guy could have mistaken him for a lady, you know? Soft and cute.
Who was the person who discovered the female?
Bernie.
Who was Bernie?
Bernie, one of the feisty leaders of our group.
And he discovered the female.
Yes.
How did it happen?
There's ladies here.
I'm very interested to find out how Bernie discovered the woman.
Well, he...
How did it come to pass?
He one morning, he got up smiling. So he said, I think there's ladies here. So I said, what do you mean, you know? So he said, because in the night, I was thrilled and delighted, see? So then he went into such a story that it's hundreds of years later, I still blushed.
Sir, could you give us the secret of your longevity?
Well, the major thing is that I never, ever touch fried food. I don't eat it, I wouldn't look at it, and I don't touch it. And they never run for a bus, there'll always be another. Even if you're late from work, you know, I never run for a bus, I never ran, I just strolled jaunty, jolly, walking to the bus stop, you know?
Yeah, well, there were no buses in the time
In my time, I mean,
what was the means of transportation then?
Mostly fear.
Fear transported you?
Fear, yes. You would see an animal would growl, you would go 2 miles in a minute.
But I suppose you
had... Fear would be the main propulsion.
Yes, but I think most people are interested in living a long and fruitful life as
yes.
you have. You mentioned...
Fruit is good, too. You mentioned fruit. Fruit kept me going for 140 years once when I was on a very strict diet, mainly nectarines. I love that fruit. It's a half a peach, half a plum, but it's a hell of a fruit. I love it. Not too cold, not too hot, you know, just nice.
What has been
even a rotten one is good. That's how much I love them. I'd rather eat a rotten nectarine than a fine plum. What do you think of that?
I can understand that.
Yes, that's how much I love them.
Yes, I can understand that.
Yes,
sir.
Some good things.
Sir, what did you do for a living?
Well, many years ago, thousands of years ago, there was no heavy industry.
We know that.
The most things that we manufactured or we made, the most things that we ever made was we would take a piece of wood, see, and rub it and rub it and clean it and look at it and hit earth with it and hit a tree with it.
For what purpose?
Just to keep busy. There was nothing. There was absolutely nothing to do. We had no jobs, don't you see?
What other jobs were there? There must have been something else besides hitting a tree with a piece of stick.
Hitting a tree with a piece of stick was already a good job. You couldn't get that job, you know?
What job?
Mainly was sitting and looking in the sky was a big job. And another job was watching each other was one thing. That was light work, looking at each other.
What language did you speak at that
time? They spoke rock, basic rock.
Basic rock, yeah. That was before Hebrew.
Yeah, but it was 200 years before Hebrew. It was the rock language, or rock talk.
Could you give us an example of that?
Hey, put that, don't throw that rock at me. Put that rock. Hey, what are you doing with the rock there? Call a policeman, for God's
I
sake.
See.
Put that rock away.
I see.
That was the rock.
Now, do you remember your Hebrew, sir?
Yes, I
would you
I think I
us?
Remember it fluently.
Because I understand the modern Hebrew is different from the archaic.
Yes, it differs in some of the phonetic alliterations and patterns.
Yes.
Yes.
Can we hear an example of the ancient Hebrew?
The very ancient Hebrew is... Oh, hi there. Hello. Hello there. How are you? I'm all right. How are you?
That's English.
Oh, wait.
Do you remember any Hebrew?
Very little, I think. I don't think I remember it. I must have forgot a great deal of it.
I think you forgot it all, sir.
Maybe all, yes. Maybe all.
Yes.
It's thousands of years since I needed it.
Now, sir, did you ever have any formal job as we know it today?
Yeah, well, I was a manufacturer. I was an owner.
What kind of a factory did you have?
I had I used to make the Star of David, the Jewish stars. I was one of the first makers
of that.
Oh,
yes, the little
soon
thing you wear
as said,
a...
Yeah, as soon as religion came in, I was one of the first in that.
And,
I figured this is a good thing.
Yes, and how did you make them? Did you have tools?
Well, we didn't have lathes. I employed 6 men. See, each with a point. And they used to run together in the middle of the factory. And in their great speeds, they would fuse their thing. And it would
thus
make,
making a star.
Yes, we would make 2 a day because of the many accidents. We have 6 men running at high speed with points.
I see.
You know, plenty of accidents.
You never thought of going into anything else?
No, I had an offer once.
What was
it? A fella came to me, Simon.
What did Simon ask you to do?
He said, if you have a new thing, a new item, a winner, it looks like a winning item that is going to be a big seller. It's called a cross. And I looked at it and I turned it over.
Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner.
Man, brilliant.
From the 2,000-year-old man. In this case, the CD, 2,000 Years with Carl Reiner. They also did Fabiola.
He
was a rock singer, you know, Fabian, if you remember.
Yeah.
Like a Tiger. Ooh. Yeah, he was a hit. The Astronaut, In a Coffee House. This was good, too. The Depressed One, the Actor, the Painter, the Folk Singer. Anyways, at 6:52, I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are the Saturday Morning Show, broadcasting you from a cold, white room. In a white room. We need black curtains at the station. Well, we heard the station, actually, at the start of the show. Who knew? Train station. We're here for about a month or so, I think, until repairs allow us
who knows
back.
How long?
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. Could be 2,000 years between you
knows?
And me. Any more jumbles?
Oh, certainly.
While you're looking, you got one right there. All right.
Yep. CETJE.
Eject.
Yep.
You know, when I flew with the snowbirds.
Yes.
There's a yellow and
tell
black bar down by your right hand side. And they say if things go very horribly wrong, you pull that up very sharply.
Yes.
The canopy blows off, and you better have your arm tight to your side, or it'll take your arm off as you go out the carpet. Yeah. 6:53, Mel Brooks, 100, and I see in the Free Press.
Yes.
British actress portrayed socially with Heart of Gold in The Good Life. Who am I talking about?
Penelope Keith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Penelope Keith, comic performer, Sean. Flinty but lovable upper crust characters, The Good Life and To the Manor Born.
Oh,
we
yeah.
love both
brilliant.
Of those.
Yep.
It's at the age of 86. Oh, but I mean, that's just one tiny part of her career. Began her acting career, joined the Royal Shakespeare Company at 63. Greatest fame, of course, yes, television. Slogging away for years in radio. And one day I came into the CBC and the security guard said, I saw you on TV last night.
There's no fame like TV, Ron.
2014, she was made a dame, female equivalent of a knight. Now, we didn't look this up, but I'd like to think that be it Gem, BritBox, PBS could bring back for another go round, recommend The Good Life was very funny as well with what was it? Richard Briers and Felicity Kendall.
Right.
Paul Eddington played her husband in that. They were all so very, very good in
that. Yeah, they were good.
Anyways, The Good Life, if you get a chance, and or, always worth seeing again, To the Manor Born. So we say thank you, Penelope Keith, at 6:54. Continuing then with We Are the Eclectic Circus. We have a classical music program for you here Sundays at 8. So I picked this up the other day from a charity shop, Swinging the Classics. It's the sort of thing the BBC would never have allowed, Carol. Never, never have allowed. This morning,
yes.
It's a little bit of Friends List then, I think.
Interesting. We're going to
swing it.
Okay.
Thee doth pine, thine eye doth shine, thine life with mine combine, love, thou art my valentine, lips like apple wine, face like calcimine, oh fine, my clinging vine, my voice for thee doth whine, you're older than auld lang syne.
Twinkle, little star, how you wonder who I am. Way up in the sky so low, you're a better man than I am, old Black Joe. Sleeps in his little bear skin. He sleeps very well, I am told. Last night I slept in my little bear skin, and I got a heck of a cold.
B.O.
Porridge hot, peace porridge cold, peace porridge in the pot, 9 days old. P.U. The boys were hooping it up.
A bunch of the boys were hooping it up in the
Malamute
Saloon.
Yep.
Yes. A little Robert Service. And before that, what was the... My mother used to say the
little
Eskimo
bear.
Sleeps in his little bear skin, all snug and warm, I suppose. Last night, I slept in my little bear skin, and by golly, I nearly froze, was her version of it, yes. Well, there you are, Swinging the Classics, taking a large hammer to it. Spike Jones.
Well, as Spike Jones does.
I mean, this also
exactly
has Judy Garland, Nat King Cole, Tommy Dorsey, Dean Martin. In the weeks to come, Swinging the Classics. If you would prefer the classics done with a little more decorum, you want Shades of Classics here on Sunday
That's
mornings.
That's true.
From 8 till 10, John Emerson.
I'll tell you.
Yes.
I'm going to do something that is not classical music. It's probably pre-classical music. Later in the show.
A little teaser for you there.
Yep.
Coming up very shortly, of course, the Children's Corner. We usually like to go around 7:15 or so, but I have it. I have the time, the screen goes blank every...
Right.
It's...
To be fair, you
don't play with it, there we are, 6:59.
To be fair,
yeah.
I don't know exactly when classical broke, you know, when the different periods were. But I suspect it was pre-classical.
Well, as my old producer used to say, say it as if you mean it.
Yes.
Go for broke, girl. Go for broke. 6:59. Then let's finish the hour with, yes, right away quick, boys and girls. Usually we save this for the boys and girls.